Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the opportunity we have to honor the Lord Jesus. We praise your name, Lord Jesus, forevermore. We praise you in our best of days. We praise you in our hardest of days. We thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters who have led us tonight as we sing praise to your name and we gather at the throne of grace to say to you, Lord, we need you, we love you, we thank you for all that you do for us. We pray that tonight you might help us as we think about your word. We pray that you might help us tonight as we consider and evaluate our own lives, how we measure up to Jesus Christ. We pray that you might make our church, help our church to come alive and be a group of people who live like Jesus in all that we do. And Lord, we ask that you would be with those who are not able to be with us tonight, who are sick, and others who can't join us. We're praying for them. We love them. And we pray that you would provide for them whatever they need. We know you will. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to read the Bible in our own language. We thank you for the freedom we have to come together in this place to honor Jesus and to worship and to serve you as we leave. We pray for all the ministries going on across the campus tonight, all of the things that are happening. How grateful we are for your great blessings upon this church, and from the youngest to the oldest, and to all of our pastors and all of our teachers and leaders. Thank you for them all. Grant us now your grace to understand your word tonight by the help of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good to see all of you tonight. If you didn't pick up an outline, make sure you do. Those of you who are online, may the Lord bless you. And I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us tonight, we're honored to have you here for Wednesday night. We're talking about living like Jesus. And Scott, if you'll bring that up just a little bit for me. We're talking about living like Jesus. And so let me just go through some review. This is the outline. Here we have, we've been talking about this for some time. There's a line that goes up, and please forgive me, men on this side. There's a line that goes up here reminding us that today, just like every other day, we come in this room facing challenges in our life. We have trials, we have troubles, we have tribulation. That's what the Lord said was going to be happening in our life. Though we're Christians, though we know the Lord, we have our challenges, and we always will. And those challenges come in our lives at various seasons of time. And so we're all in the midst of that in our lives. So that's the line that ascends up. Then there's words at the top, the work of the Holy Spirit. So all of us who are in here are believers in Christ. The Holy Spirit has a way of taking those experiences of our life and putting them together and helping us to be shaped into Christ's likeness. What is it that the Word of God says? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. The Holy Spirit's working in us. He fills us with His Spirit. He gives us insight into the Word of God. He helps us pray. He walks with us. He gives us help in all the various seasons of our life. And so the Holy Spirit is with us. We follow Him. We thank Him for His companionship and His teaching in our lives. But at the bottom then, there's a line here, a horizontal line, which represents what we're talking about in detail. And that is our part in practicing, disciplining ourselves to godliness. There are disciplines. I choose to call them habits, Christian habits. And so I was telling the group, we had a good group at noon today, and they said for me to say hello to all of you, and they were in here. So I said, this is like a big flannel graph. Do any of you know what a flannel graph is? That's way from back in, Levi doesn't know what a flannel graph is, but anyway, when I was a little boy, that's the way they told the Bible stories, on this piece of flannel, and they'd put the picture on there. Well, this is a giant flannel graph. How's that? And these are the habits that we've already talked about, and I can't review them in detail. But I would remind you today, and you can see them all, Bible habits, prayer habits, worship habits, evangelism habits, serving habits are what we'll talk about tonight. These are the habits of Jesus. Jesus had a certain way of living. Jesus had a certain routine in His life. Jesus he practiced a certain lifestyle. If I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, I learn to live like Jesus. So I ask you today, how are you doing with your holy habits? How are you doing with your Bible? It doesn't mean you have to be an expert in it. It means that you have to pick it up and read it. And as I've mentioned to you, we have reading plans here at the church we can give you. Many of you have your own. Many of the people in this room, you're very astute at these things. So you have your own reading plan, but read it. It's not enough just to have a reading plan. Read the reading plan. Read your Bible. So how are you doing in praying? How are you doing in meeting with God? How are you doing in talking with the Lord? How are you doing as we think about worship? Are you coming to worship? Are you spending time hearing God's Word taught and preached and the people of God singing and praising God together? Jesus did these things. And then, of course, telling other people about Jesus, the good news, sharing the good news as we go along. We talked about that last week, but now we come to service. And I'd like for you to take your Bible and turn to John 13. John 13, we have some who have not been with us before tonight, so again, I remind you, these are fundamentals. These are fundamentals. So it's my old worn-out illustration, because I'm a baseball fan. Again, you know, they asked the coach of a very good professional baseball team. They didn't have a lot of rookies, they had a lot of veterans, but they didn't make the playoffs. I mean, this is a team not long ago. So the reporters were on the coach and said, you know, and the manager, and said, what's the deal with your team? You got all these pros. You got all these veterans and know how to do it. How come you're not in the playoffs? Answer, they forgot the fundamentals. What happens in my Christian life when I start to fade away? What happens in my Christian life when I get cold? What happens in my Christian life when I get cynical, bitter? What happens in my Christian life when I just quit? I haven't been doing the fundamentals. Amen. So these things are important to us, and they are the habits of our life. You know, we're all in this room creatures of habit, every one of us. You have your set of habits. You taught your children your habits. Everybody has a routine. You get up in the morning. We've all got one. We all do it. We're creatures of habit. I'm asking you this tonight as I'm asking myself. I'm not exempt from this any more than you. Are your habits leading you to holiness? So now we read in John 13. Verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During the supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, he got up from supper and laid aside his garments, his outer garments. And taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said, what I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not my own feet, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, not all of you are clean. By the way, he washed the betrayer's feet that night. So when he had washed their feet, including Judas, and taken his garments and reclined back at the table, he said, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. Now I'm going to read on. I've only given you through verse 13, but I'm going to read on through 14 to 17. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. So the towel, this is forever our emblem of service. It's the towel. You know, this is the towel. Here's the towel. We just hang it on the pulpit here tonight to remind us this is our primary tool as a Christian. I could have brought the shovel, I could have brought, you know, a number of other tools, but here it is, the towel. Because it reminds us this is what the Lord Jesus did. As the scripture says, he got up and he took a towel. He did what was the most menial task. Look, you know, in the first century, the lowest level slave had the job in the rich man's house to wash the guest's feet and also those of the family. That's their job. They were the lowest. They got the lowest job. The lowest job, the most menial job. There's nothing lower. There's nothing quite lower than washing the feet of others. So here's our Lord who gives us the ultimate example of serving. On your outline, you notice that I've given it to you here, that Jesus came to serve God the Father and accomplish his mission. Service has to do with obedience. What did the Lord say? And I've printed it out for you. Some of these verses I try to print out for our time. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. So we have some in here who've served in the military. I mentioned to you, we had a group about this size, maybe a few more. We had a good group at lunch. We have a number of service people in there. And I like to give Tom Edwards a hard time. Tom's probably, 85 and 83. Don't tell him if I didn't get it right. 80-something. And he was a Army medic. So he came in the room today and he was talking about whether rain or snow or sleet or what he was talking about. I don't know what he was talking about. He was rambling on. But I said, but that's what you can't stop a U.S. medic. You can't stop them. They'll jump in any foxhole in any circumstance. Military service, we call it. Military service. Some of you serve. Thank you for your service, we say, and I say to you. Serving has some elements to it. The Lord Jesus obeyed God the Father. Now follow me. Service means that somebody's in charge. Service means obedience to someone who has authority. And our responsibility is to serve and obey the authority. This is the plain facts of it. In the military, what is it? I've listened to all the former soldiers complain. Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. Well, you hurry up when you're told to go, and then you wait until you're told something else to do. It's not about asking opinions and taking surveys. Hurry up and then wait. Hurry up and wait. Service is obeying the will and desire of a superior. So in the military, you salute. Who wants to salute? Salute. Who wants to stand at attention? Who wants to see someone else with more marks than you have on your clothing? It's about obedience, and it is about doing the purposes and the requests of a superior. And that's what we do in our service. We're all in the service. We're in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus came and he was obedient. This is the first. Before we can talk about serving, we must remember that serving starts with obeying. Are you obeying God tonight? Now, this is the question. Are you doing what the Word of God says? Are you serving first by obedience? Are you obeying God? Are you doing what the Word of God says? Number two, Jesus came serving on the outline. And he died for our sins, praise God. What did he do when he came? He said, it's famous. These are famous words. Most of you have heard preachers preach these words, knowing who's in here tonight, all of your life. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to serve and he served. So then we go to this famous passage in Philippians 2. And notice in the center of our triangle, Philippians 2 is here because, and go there in your Bible now. Philippians 2, this is one of those very great famous places we go in the Bible. Because here we learn something of the attitude that must be in the heart and mind of every person who serves. Serving, Jesus came serving out of humility, not out of pride. This is really important for us. So let's begin reading in Philippians 2 at verse 3. This is Paul, remember, writing to this church at a place called Philippi. He's writing to Christians there, and this is these are his notes or his words to these believers. Number 3, 2:3, do nothing from selfishness. Now that's pretty plain. But let me pause. We're in a world filled with selfishness. It's all about self-promotion and self-service. Self-service world. I don't need you. I don't need anybody else. I'll do it myself. Self-service. Self-service. Some of us in this room grew up when actually this is a true story. You used to go to the gas station and somebody put gas in your car. I know some of you have to Google it and look it up. It's true. It's really true. I remember Pat and I rode with some friends. We used to ride motorcycles years ago and rode for years. And we went to the northern part of New York State up in the Finger Lakes area. Beautiful, unbelievable place. And I can't remember the name. It's a massive Indian reservation up toward the northern part. And we kept driving and driving. We couldn't find anywhere to get any fuel. Finally, we came on this place. And it was just filled with cars. I'm chasing a rabbit, but it's an important one. And everybody was in line. So they just had a few pumps. And so finally, we went up there and said, well, what's the problem? You out of gas? No. You're on the Indian reservation, and there's the rule. We have to pump your gas. So guess what? Got to pull up there, and the Indian gentleman had to come pump your gas, one after another, and you had to wait your turn. Self-service. When you're in a self-service world, you don't like to be served. You like to do it your own way. You like to make your own. You like to carry, you like to tell everybody, this is what we train children to do today, to talk about themselves, to take pictures of themselves, to put it on all kinds of devices and all kinds of places on the internet so that we can talk about ourselves. Everybody talks about themselves. Do nothing from selfishness. I'm lingering here for a reason. Service never happens for Jesus if you're selfish. You're not going to serve. You'll just serve yourself, or you'll expect everybody to serve you. That's the other side of selfishness. Do nothing from selfishness. This is the Christian way. I'm not to be a self-centered person. Notice, or empty conceit. You know, there's nothing to conceit. It's pride is what he's saying. Don't do anything from selfishness or pride. If we took care of that at the church house, we'd go a long way in service. But with humility of mind, regard one another, and this is quite a statement if you don't have it marked in your Bible. Now, this is going to be shocking to some in the room, perhaps. Here's the way we're to live as Christians. Regard everyone else as more important than yourself. By the way, I'm the least important person in this room tonight. And you're surrounded by everybody else who's more important than you. Amen. Now that will change the way you live if you really live that way. Amen. If you don't, well, it'll show up. This has to do with our attitude. Before we can serve, we must be like Jesus. The Lord Jesus, now we go on. Do not merely look for out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. You know, it's the thing you hear sometimes at church. Well, you know, boy, that's really sad. I'm really sorry to hear that. Boy, that's a really terrible thing. By the way, are we going to Shoney's tonight? Oh, I'm just so sad. Does somebody need to help them? Well, somebody at the church needs to help them. I do it, but you know, man, I checked my calendar. I got so much going on, I can't get to it. Well, get the deacons up there. They don't do anything anyway. Get them to do it. And the preacher, he certainly doesn't do anything. Call him up. I say this out of grief. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests. You see, the world's all about themselves. My interests are all that matter. And if you help me, and if you're advantageous to what I'm trying to get done, but then I'm going to include you. I got personal interests and I got personal goals. And anything outside of that doesn't matter, says the world, not Christians. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And that's not giving us permission to be nosy or to meddle, but it is for us to be watching those who have needs and say, did you notice so-and-so? We need to help them. Have this attitude in yourselves. This is about our minds. Change your mind. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. The point is, change your attitudes of selfishness to an attitude of humility and sacrifice. Verse 6, although he existed in the form of God, he was the eternal, only begotten Son of God. He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself. He took the form of a bondservant and he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You know, sin can humble you. But Christians are to humble themselves. James picks up on this very word. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That's what these things do. That's what these things do. They help to humble me. They help to humble me. As I said to you when we were talking about prayer habits, proudful people don't pray. You pray and you have to humble yourself before God and say, God, I need your help. Humble yourself. The towel is the sign of service. He became obedient to the point of death. Notice his humility was tied to his obedience. And he died for our sins. Praise God. What are we willing to die for? What are we really willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ? Oh, and for everybody else. You see, this leads us to our service as believers. I want you to turn with me just for a moment. It's just over in the next book. Colossians chapter 3, verse 24. Colossians 3:24, Paul's talking about family relationships beginning in chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, be subject to your husbands as fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to parents in all things. It's well-pleasing in the Lord. Now, this is Colossians 3:21. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Don't provoke them, so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters. We would take that in our day in many ways, like an employee. An employee, in all things, obey those who are your masters. Not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity, the heart fearing the Lord. Then he says, and these are the two key verses, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. And the last phrase, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. To whom tonight do I give my service? First, to the Lord Christ, and second, to you, this church, and to the world. That's my job. Our job is to serve. Notice it's His titles. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Lord Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, and the promised Messiah of Israel and the world for our salvation. Believers are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here tonight as slaves of God. Believers are to serve others first before themselves. Now we go back to John 13. What did the Lord say? Let's go back there now. Others are first, we're last. You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If then the Lord washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. Notice, Peter was rebuking the Lord. You're not going to wash my feet. Self-service. Someone comes and they try to serve you, and you refuse it. Self-service. See, this was a man who said, well, I'm not going to let you serve me. So the church tries to serve you and you won't let the church serve you. That's pride. That's arrogance. That's what that is. That's a spirit of pride. Well, I'm better than you. I don't need any of you people. I don't need any of what you've got. We'll get by. I'll take care of it myself, says the proud man. Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. The Lord said, if you're one of mine, washing, if you're going to be one of mine, you're going to do this. Get the towel out, wash feet. Now, we've talked about this. This is not an ordinance in the church. There are some churches, some groups who make it a very serious thing and they wash feet, and I respect them for that, but we know and we've taught, and it is our ways, that the two ordinances the Lord gave us are baptism and the Lord's Supper. Washing feet, just to wash somebody's feet isn't the point. Washing feet was a menial, totally despised job. Here's the deal. Serve somebody else by doing something for them that is the most detestable, despised thing you can imagine. That's what this matters. That's what this is like. We serve. The only people who saw the Lord wash their feet were those disciples in that room. He didn't put on a show. And service isn't about a show. Service is a lifestyle. If you know these things, and I take you to verse 17. If you know these things, are you ready for this? You want a blessing? Serve. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. Not, oh, you know I need to serve. Okay, well, how's that working for you? You know you need to do it, but are you doing it? You see, believers have this responsibility that regardless of what's going on in our lives, we have to serve others. I mentioned that in the morning group, we have a lot of our widows there, and I wasn't fussing at them. I really wasn't, but I reminded them that probably the most powerful, this is church history, but one of the most powerful groups in the early church were the widows of the church and the ministries they had in the church. They weren't just sitting around being served. There's no like time limit where you walk with God and you serve and you run over, your time's up and then everybody serves you. There's no such thing as that in the Bible. You serve till you die. You serve until your last breath. We serve. We're saved to serve. That's the way I grew up hearing it. We're saved to serve. Well, Pastor Mike, I got a lot of stuff in my life. Jesus did too. And He served. And He kept serving. And He kept serving. You see, believers have an obligation to one another and to our Lord. I have been saved by Lord Christ, and now I am His slave. That's why I love when Paul says, and I won't chase it down, but in Ephesians 4, he calls himself the prisoner of the Lord. And then he was actually technically prisoner of Rome. But he says, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. Jesus put me in jail. Believers have been given spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ. Look what Paul, this is 1 Peter, and I'm sorry I didn't put the reference on the bottom. This is letter C. As each one has received a spiritual gift, employ it. Commercial. So after we finish this material on living with Jesus, the next thing we'll be studying on in my time at noonday and also here will be about spiritual gifts. Talk to you about your spiritual gifts. You all have them. You're saved. And the reality is God gave them to you because you're supposed to use them. So we'll talk about what does it mean and what are my spiritual gifts. We'll help you discover them. And then we'll talk about how we put them to work. Look what Peter says. Each special gift. Everyone in this room is a gifted person in Christ. Employ it in serving one another. Stewards of the manifold grace of God. So I'm one of those, sir, I'm using the gift that God gave me. Whoever speaks is to do it as one who's speaking the other God. That's why I speak to you seriously. I'm not going to be here to tell you jokes. I'm not interested in current events. That's not in the news. Isn't Tom Brokaw still on the news? I don't know who's on the news anymore. You're going to speak as if God's speaking through you. Serves is to do so as though he's serving by the strength God supplies. Now this is pitiful. I've witnessed it. You know, somebody comes and they're going to go serve somebody, and the whole time they're serving the other person, they're griping because of, they got to serve them. That's terrible. Fire those people who serve like that. You don't go and say to somebody, "Well, look, may the Lord bless you. By the way, I got all these terrible things going on." My cut. Stop. You're out. No. We serve by the strength which God supplies. Point, Pastor Mike, how can I serve? My whole life's falling apart. You do it by the power of God. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's why we serve. So that Jesus is honored. And believers must serve with humility. So we lay aside attitude. Here, have you ever had to tell your kids, you got an attitude problem? I have to say to myself, you got an attitude problem, Mike. Deal with it. My attitude problem is my pride. I must humble myself through the use of these practices and lay aside my self-worship, my self-service, my self-dependence. We pride ourselves self-reliance and self-dependence, but you can't be saved if you live a self-independent life. You can't be saved. You must surrender and believe in Jesus Christ and lay it all down. Lay aside your selfish pride and position and importance. That's a big deal, isn't it? What did the Lord say about the Pharisees? In the seed of Moses, which means they're the teachers of the law of God. And then he said, do what they say, but don't do what they say. Here's the difference. When we follow the Lord Jesus, we do what he says, and we do what he does. We lay aside our pride and not after. We're not after acclaim. We're not after recognition. Lay aside our self-desire. We're going to be served. I remind you, the first trouble in the early church with all the growth that was going on was between widows who were talking about not getting served enough. That says in the book of Acts. That's where deacons came along. Table waiters. That's what the word deacons means. Table waiters. Care of this. People complaining about not being served. This is a church. Lay aside your selfish expectation to be served. Well, I deserve to be served. Well, if I'm busy serving everybody else, I don't have time to be served. But you know what? God always brings people to my life to serve. So receive it when they come. Receive it. Receive it. It's somewhat humorous. Some of those who serve the most in church are the hardest to serve. Hardest to receive. I'm good. It's part of humility, service from others. So, we'll have to take it to heart tonight in our own service. Humility and service, as we have verses for you on the back page. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, there it is, implore you in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. What is you know, walking in Paul's words is, I implore you to live in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. What is that? With all humility, patience, showing tolerance for one another. It's like a string of pearls. Look at this, string of pearls. How do we show that we're walking in a worthy manner? Well, we live our life in all humility. That doesn't mean, you know, walking around your head down, gloom and doom, you know, like, you know, talking about how terrible, you know, your self-loathing or whatever you want to call it. It's humility. Everybody else is more important. First the Lord, everybody else. I know what I am. I know I have great capacity in my life to sin. This is what humility says. You know, recently we've had again some prominent people who preachers and others who they've sinned and they've fallen in everybody's comments. But we do have to be reminded of what Paul said in Galatians. You remember? If anyone is caught in any sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. The phrase I have for me, looking to yourself, lest you be tempted in the same way. See, this is what I must do. I could do what that man did. I could do what that man or woman did. Humility. But the grace of God and His protection and help, I could do the same things. Saved by the grace of God, we are still sinners saved by grace, and we are still sad to commit great sin that grieves the Holy Spirit and quenches the work of the Holy Spirit and causes great harm in our personal lives and our families, and I can go on. All humility. When you look to yourself with the capacity you have to sin, produce in you humility and gentleness. With patience, showing tolerance. Not in the world today, Brother Mike. There's no place for tolerance. Okay. Hope that works out for you. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, more important than yourself, and do not merely look out for your own interests, as we read. As those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, look at these as we finish. Look at these five things. Look at these qualities. Put on a heart of compassion. The Lord Jesus had compassion His entire ministry. These people are getting what they deserve. He didn't do that. Put on compassion. It's like clothing. It's like you put it on. Put on compassion. Put on kindness. It's my old repeated statement to you now. What for? Be kind to everyone because everybody's having a hard time. You're right. Everybody. You may not know, but they are. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness again. Humility and gentleness always find association in Paul's words and patience. And what does James say to us? The same. Clothe yourself with humility in another. That's in marriages. That's with our children. That's with our grandchildren. That's in our relationships with one another at the church house. That's in our relationships with people in the world, out in the workplace. Humility. For God is opposed to the proud and He gives grace to the humble. All right, so we have homework for this week. Number one, serve someone this week. You know, the Chick-fil-A employees, those young people that are out there, I love there. Of course, I have to go clear to Bellevue to do it. But they train those people. You know, they go out and stand out there in all weather to take your order. And notice when you say, you know, when you give your order and you say, well, thank you, if you do, they always say, my pleasure. My pleasure. They have a training routine that they go through. Have a chance to be with some of these people who train them once upon a time. And it's a very important thing that they teach all. Now, I'm not saying they don't have a bad day, and you're going to say, well, I'll tell you right now, I'm out there, and great, you missed them. I had a bad day. But the training is that they're to say to everyone, it's my pleasure to serve you. My pleasure. It is a pleasure to serve you. Serving is a pleasure. It's a pleasure as well as a duty. So maybe today this is your chance, my chance. Now I leave tonight and I say, how can I serve somebody this week? Number two, how can I improve my service? How can I improve it? I do want to mention, it just always triggers my mind when I say this, Charles Swindoll is, in my opinion, probably the greatest Bible expositor that most people don't know. Everybody has their favorite preacher. I'm going to tell you now, Charles Swindoll is retired at the age of 90 as pastor. Did you hear me? 90. He is a phenomenal Bible teacher. Insight for Living is his podcast. You want to do yourself some good? Listen to Chuck Swindoll. There's more there than a lifetime. Here's the point. He wrote a book, which is so good, called Improve Your Serve. Ricky, you got to keep working on your serve, don't you? You got to keep working on that. You got to keep working on that putter. You got to keep working on it. You got to improve your serve. You got to improve it. You got to improve your swing. Improve your serve. Improve your serve. So for you and for me, I ask myself, how can I improve my to others, to Christ and to others? We serve our Lord, and second, we serve everybody else. And finally, maybe this week you find somebody, and you do it for the right reason now. Find somebody and you serve them in a way that will repay you for what you do. We have to change our attitude. We have to get up from the table, lay aside clothes, take the towel. That's what we do. Now, I always quote a hymn. I can't sing, but I'm going to give you this old hymn. We used to sing it when I was a kid. To the work. To the work. We are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balm of His counsel, our strength to renew, let us do our might what our hands find to do. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on. Let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes. Toiling on. That's what we do. To the work, to the work. Let the hungry be fed. To the fountain of life, let the weary be led. And the cross and its banner, our glory shall be, while we are heralds, while we herald the tidings. Salvation is free. To the work, to the work. There is labor for all. For the kingdom of darkness and error shall fall. And the name of Jehovah exalted shall be in loud swelling chorus. Salvation is free. To the work, in the strength of the Lord, and a robe and a crown shall our labor reward. When the home of the faithful our dwelling shall be, and we shout with the ransomed, salvation is free. Toil on, church, toil on, toil on, toil on. Let us hope, let us watch, and labor until the Master comes. Amen.